KQSS Miami.
It's country and more. Gila 1019.com.
And it is 6 o'clock. And as soon as Robert joins us, we will find out what's going on with TRSD. And as I say, I don't think there's anybody in the area who doesn't have a stake in this, because we're literally talking about a number of areas going fallow if we don't come to some decision soon and quickly. And it looks like that's happening. And Robert Jock is walking in the room as we speak. And he is president of the Tri-City Sanitary District. And so good deal. So there's some headphones and here's a microphone. And you're on. So as soon as Robert figures out the headphones, we will get underway. And I'm curious.
I know I'm doing something wrong. There we go. Just flip the right set up, Bobby.
Okay, you got it.
Yeah.
All right. Good deal.
Yeah.
So thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me, I think.
Well, no, it's your show. Like I say, we're Switzerland. The only position the radio station takes on any of this is that this is a needed project, and we need a sewer system sooner rather than later. And so other than that, I think most of us who are not directly involved are saying, I don't care who does what, just get me a sewer. So that's where we are.
Okay, where do we go from here?
It's up to you. This is your meeting.
I prefer you ask me questions in the old boogie woogie song. You make the play, I'll name the way.
It's interesting, except I don't have any direct questions, as I say. Let me see what I can think to ask, because normally we just hand the microphone over and it's your show. But when part of this is last month, the Citizens Against Higher Taxes came in and said there's a cheaper way to do this. Instead of building more own plant, let's connect to Miami and it'll be much cheaper. Now, the only question I asked at the time was, give me actual dollars. How much are we talking about for the current project proposed, and how much would it be to hook up to Miami? And at that point, they didn't have a succinct answer. So the first thing I'll ask you is, and of course, most of this is funded, and I understand that, but what's the total cost of the TRSD project?
Total cost today, estimated cost, all in, all three phases, approximately $114 million. In the year 2018, before COVID hit, the estimated price was just a hair under $70 million for all three phases. And the interesting thing was, I think to myself, how is that possible? How can in the space of 5 years,
oh, it's easy.
4 years,
it's easy.
Can a price go from $70 million to $112 million all in? That's everything.
And that's easy.
Non-construction. Uh-huh. I was at a WIFA meeting. By the way, we have great hopes. Tomorrow we will get our second grant funding from WIFA, $3 million for phase one work to include the reclamation facility. But at the meeting, we had about 40 projects that the water conservation grant funding team was looking at. Mm-hmm. And Buckskin Parker project was, it's pretty much the same as we are. They're expanding their current system, so they have a system unlike ours, and they were expanding that. Before COVID, the estimated cost of their project was $20 million. Today, the cost of that project is $31 million. So when you ratio the number of our 70 versus their 20, our 114 and their 31 million are right in line with regards to escalated costs. It is an astonishing thing.
You know, it doesn't surprise me in the least, actually, because even I joke, gee, I'll go to Sonic and get an estimate on a hot dog. But the reality is that even when you look at things like fast food, the escalation of prices is enormous. And maybe you don't think about it if it goes from $5 to $10, but I think 2019 to now, that's 5 year period. When you said 70 to 114, I'm like, yeah, that sounds about right. That's not surprising.
I'm pleased that you have that attitude.
Oh, I think anybody who has been walking the terra firma in the last 5 years faces it, whether, you know, it's the cost of a hotel room or a meal or clothes or I don't, and, you know, it's a bigger subject, excuse me, than all of us, but the reasons for the inflation and where we're going from here, you know, Lord only knows, but it's not possible to have a project where you're not figuring this. We just put in another container for storage. The first container doing just some of the framing was, I don't know, about $5,000. This one was $12,000.
That's absolutely right.
And that didn't surprise me in the least. So that part, I don't think there's any objection. But in terms of why not use the Miami plant, is there a reason not to use it?
Yes, many. First of all, we will. We will build our own plant. I'm very assertive, very definite that we are going to do that.
Okay.
We already have a contract with BHP. BHP gave us the site, gave us, figuratively, I guess I would say, in return for that, what we finally agreed with them. And once we found that site and we entered into discussions with BHP, it was probably a 7-month project before we finally came to a resolution. It is in an area not of mining, but it's possible to be mineralized. BHP wanted to retain those rights. Mm-hmm. We couldn't let them do that. You can retain the mineral rights as long as you protect our surface.
Right.
We're putting in a plant that is going to run upwards when it's fully built out, about $9 million. And RD, Rural Development, would not support that site if there was going to be mining or any subsurface disturbance. But we reached a resolution with BHP. It took us 6 months. That is not unusual. It is an international, multinational corporation. Everything we did with them, we didn't talk, but Melbourne, Australia, Houston, Texas, and Santiago, Chile, all had a stake in the game. And so they had to agree on what was going down. We reached an agreement with them for that site, just a hair over 8 acres. And in return, what we have guaranteed them for 20 years, a 20-year agreement in 5-year blocks, that they have first right of refusal of 80% of the effluent that we generate. So right there, we have a contractual issue with BHP that really ties us to that particular site.
Now, but let me ask you, let me just go back here, you know, and you're saying we will build a plant, which, you know, fine. But what's the answer, though, in terms of would it be cheaper? Forget about we will build it. Would it be cheaper to connect to Miami? Is there a reason you could not connect to Miami?
Well, it isn't a matter of just sitting down with Miami and signing a piece of paper. I don't know whether you remember, Raleigh, but between the years, let's say June 2013 through September 2018, when the desire was great to regionalize operations, in other words, to take our wastewater to Miami for treatment, Miami is outside the district. So for them to treat our wastewater, we have to have an intergovernmental agreement. We spent 3 years, not me, but the board, Pace Engineering, spent 3 years with the town of Miami trying to come up with an IGA. When it got towards the end, the board, with the concurrence of RD, Rural Development, submitted an IGA to the town of Miami for their approval. Within the space of 2 weeks, as far as I understand it, and as far as I get from going back into old meeting minutes, the IGA was returned unsigned. Miami basically stated, we haven't had chance to look at this. We want to begin negotiations all over. These are my words. If I go into the documents, it might be stated somewhat differently.
So what you're saying is that it was tried and rejected.
It was tried and rejected. Okay. At that point in time, the board went to RD and said, look, this is going nowhere. We've spent 3 years chasing this rabbit down the hole, and we have not been successful.
Now, while we're talking, I see Tim Humphrey wants to join us, and that is absolutely fine. So we're going to bring him into the mix. So
tell that guy not to jump my case.
Oh, no. All right, Tim, there
you
go.
He's a tough man to deal with, that Tim Humphrey.
good evening. I just left and I had this on, and Robert, when you asked Raleigh for questions, I can appreciate that, and I don't mean to cut you off because you were, you know, you were saying how you had a difficult time with Miami and then went in and got your own funding, which required its own plan, but you didn't get that. But anyway, my question is to the people of the community, you say it's going to cost $114 million.
Yes.
Is that going to be on the back of the taxpayers?
Absolutely not, Tim. I had that question. That question comes to me every time. In fact, I was confronted on two occasions in Fry's. And one woman walked up to me and she said, "You're a bad man. You're a bad..." You know who said that? Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali. "You're a bad man." And we had a really good discussion. That's happened to me on two occasions at Fry's. We can have a difference of opinion, but by gosh, let's do it civilly. We don't need to raise our voices. So the reality is this: regardless of the price of the project, the loan for all three phases all in is fixed at $32.5 million in round numbers. And basically that is about $12 million on phase one, and just let's say $10 million on phases two and three. So regardless of the price increase for the project, the loan value and the exposure of the residents in the district is fixed. I do not mean to underestimate the impacts of a $32.5 million loan. It will be paid over a period of 40 years. The residents of the district have to deal with that. We have residents of the district who are financially stretched. According to the Arizona revised statutes, before we levy any assessments, and that's how the note will be paid off, before we levy any assessments or make any charges, we have to work with the public in the district, with those people who are financially stressed, to help them find a way to make their payments. There's information, there's a backstory beyond that, and I'm always open to discuss with people what that really means. But to answer your question, the loan is fixed.
So regardless of what
happens. Thank you very much for sharing that with everybody.
No, don't go away, Tim. Your questions are always welcome. Even if they're...
I won't go away.
Even if they're hard. Love hard questions. So I'm sorry, Raleigh. Yes, the loan is fixed at $32.5 million.
So
we can... And basically, the three phases, again, are 12, 10, 10. We do... There is a resolution that basically fixes the loan. The 12, 10, 10 was developed because of the three phases of the project. And we do have some ability to move loan funds around. But if we move loan funds, say, from phase three to phase one, we would be shortchanging phase three. We do have that flexibility. We would do that only as a last resort.
Now, for most people, I still come back to the important thing is, okay, when do we get the sewer? Is all these discussions we're having now, and anybody who's objecting or whatever, is that delaying the project?
No,
okay.
No. The engineer is doing his thing. Pace Engineering is doing two things. They're at about 95% complete on engineering on phase one. We're tidying up on some of the easements. We're finalizing the design of the wastewater facility. And we're doing that because we have a grant from EPA through WIFA for $2.068 million. And those grant dollars are targeted for site preparation at the WRF site. Mm-hmm. And our anticipation is, as soon as the engineering is complete on that site, and we expect that by the end of May, middle June,
okay,
we will then put the package together, submit it to RD for their information. Those are funds we're acquiring outside of RD. They don't take a position. Those are dollars outside of our funding. You do with them as you want, but they're targeted for the initial work on the reclamation facility. And so we expect to begin that work I'm going to say probably late third quarter. That's the first construction work that, yes, that will take place.
And then when will phase one, when will they start to get service?
When will it My anticipation is that they will begin to get service probably late. Let me see once now. Probably late 25, more probably the first quarter of 26. Okay.
And then for phase two and phase three, what's estimated?
Phase one, the funds for phase one have been obligated by RD to the tune of $28.5 million. The difference between the funded part, the obligated funding 28.5, and the current estimate of phase one, which is now all in $44 million, that is coming from grant funding we are seeking outside. So once we're done focusing on phase one, if you will, we've got construction underway. We will then begin engineering work on phases two and three. The caveat with that, we have not yet been funded for phase two and three to begin engineering work.
Okay.
And that is all due to, one, the increased cost of those two phases. They've each gone up from, maybe they've gone up about $12 million per phase. And again, we're going to have to go get those fundings. RD says, you're on your own, guys. Thank you very much. And that's what we're doing on phase one. Once we get phase one under construction, things will begin to loosen up. A lot of the budget issues in DC will have been resolved. But the whole funding mechanism now is really changing. Funding is going from agencies, being moved from agencies into what we can call earmarks. It's going out to the congressmen, to the senators to deal with their constituents directly. That makes it a little bit tougher. We have to go out and do our funding work, and the bulk of that work is falling on the shoulders of our financial advisor, our bond counsel, and Pace Engineering. They have basically inherited that. So I'm going to guess we could begin work on phase two maybe late 25. I think once we show because for the last 12 years, we have talked the talk. Regardless of the reasons for that, we haven't turned a shovel full of dirt. Once we go into construction and people begin to see this is reality, I think the scene changes for funding. That's my opinion.
Now, with that in mind, when we're saying $32.5 million, that's the most the taxpayers will ever be indebted to.
In
all three phases. That's it. The whole project, no matter what, start to finish, won't cost taxpayers more than $32.5 million. All right. Now, with that in mind, what do you do if you're in phase one and here is phase two and that money's not loosening up? It's just not there. What happens then?
We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. We had a long conversation with Michael Dean, who is Community Resources Manager for State of Arizona today on funding for phases two and three. But not to dodge the question, but what we're dealing right now is with the here and now in phase one. I'll go back and say what I said before. Once phase one becomes reality, phases two and three the funding of phases two and three, I believe, will loosen up.
Okay, well, we'll assume it does. In terms of that, what would be the full completion, do you think? And of course, this is a pie in the sky number because you won't know. Of course, it's an estimate. But to complete the project entirely, phase three, when is it done?
I would say probably 28.
Okay, 2028.
That's my best off the top.
But what you are telling the taxpayer and promising the taxpayer is no matter what happens, period, no matter what, the taxpayer will not be obligated to more than $32.5 million.
That is correct. Okay. That's what I am saying. If that changes, I won't say any more about myself. I may not even be here.
Well, yeah,
I'll point at them from on high,
right, right,
or from down below.
Right, you and me both, exactly.
Yes.
But all right, so
let's
now in terms of cost of this type of a project, you hear a lot of talk from some of the people in Miami saying, "Oh, it's not only did it increase my taxes, but look at what it's costing me a month," and you know, it makes it seem like you'll be broke before the week is out. So with that in mind, how much would the bill be for the users on this?
Best estimate right now, probably
per month per household.
Per month per household, you're looking at O&M, SLA. We're probably looking at about $35. That is for monthly charge.
Okay.
On top of that, you have the yearly assessment. And I'm guessing all in, we're probably talking in the mid-$60 range. That's for your yearly assessment plus your O&M fee. And the O&M fee includes a funding of what's called short-lived assets. Those are assets like pumps, valves, which we know go out. They have a shelf life. We build up a cash reserve so we can deal with those costs for replacement without impacting the taxpayers.
So when we're talking about that annual figure, is that divided by month so that they're paying it monthly? So
no, they could do that, but it's going to appear on their tax
statement.
Oh, it's on
statement. The tax bill.
Yes.
Okay, so now is that part of the $32.5 million we're
yes.
talking about?
Yes.
Okay, I was saying separate from that 32.5 then, forget about the annual assessment. So 32.5, whether we're doing it annually or however we're doing it. On top of that, you've got the bill to operate it, to use it. And what you're saying is that's about $35 a month.
I'm going to save $35 a month okay. right now.
All right, so that really is the only expense on top of the $32.5 million.
Well, that's what the resident will see, a monthly charge of about $35,
yeah.
but then once a year he will see on his tax statement
right.
the assessment. I don't want anybody to think, that guy just said $35.
No, no, no. The assessment is how you're paying back the $32.5
right.
million. That's
right.
Those are two different costs,
yes.
obviously.
And
so.
we are, according to revised statutes, required to work with residents who are having financial difficulties.
Right.
And we will create the mechanisms to do that.
Right.
It's a subject that is, you have to sit down and talk about it so people really understand it.
Now, the next thing is, of course, on the positive side, that okay, this is what they're going to spend, but they're going to be hooked up to this deal for free.
Yes.
And so it's passing your house, it's coming to your house, we're hooking you up. Do these homes have any expenses that they will have to incur? For instance, you know, sometimes like when the water company or whoever, gas company, wants to move a meter, they say, hey, we'll throw this in, but your house has to meet these standards. So, you know, which for us in some of those changes was great, hook us up, but other people on the block said, we're not changing our house, that kind of thing. So will there be any expense to the homeowner to be able to hook up?
No, our responsibility, Raleigh, ends at what I call the drip line, edge of the roof. That's where we will hook up to the homeowner.
Okay.
There are homeowners out there who have multiple cesspools, multiple connection points, if you will.
Sure.
And we're going to have to deal with that in a rational way. But we are not going to go under people's houses trying to hook up that way. We will come to the drip line. But there are programs available to residents through rural development. And they're always on my case saying, have you talked to them about the home improvement grants? And my response is, I appreciate what you're trying to sell, but I'm trying to work to get this system done.
Now, the drip line, is that something that a homeowner can connect to without any cost or anything like that?
Yes, the homeowner has no charge.
Okay,
I dealt with a woman last week. She said, I'm against the project. And I tell me why. She had a concrete driveway. We're going to have to go up her driveway through her concrete patio, if you will, and to hook up to the house. And she said, who's going to pay for that? My response is the contractor will slice the concrete, call it what you will, in the driveway, on the patio, put the system in, and put her driveway patio in back into the condition in which they found it.
Okay.
And we have worked, I'm going to guess 2022-ish. Pace, the engineering firm, said sent out 700 mailers to the residents in phase one, mm-hmm. asking them, work with us, tell us the best way for us to hook up to your home. Mm-hmm. Sent them an aerial photo, a close shot of the house. Tell us the best way to get from our connection on our line to your house. We had about 350 responses to that.
Out of 700?
So, yes.
Just half.
So we have reached out. We, Pace, has reached out, okay. trying to work with homeowners to understand what is the better way for us to hook up to your house. We don't want to tear down your wall. We don't want to cut through your garden. We want you to work with us. And we really had a good response.
Yeah, 50% is a very good response for a mailer.
But it's the other 50% that you worry about.
Well, that'll come to pass. Now, let's say you've got somebody completely recalcitrant, and they say, I'm not hooking up to this system no matter what. I assume they have the right not to hook up, but if they wanted to hook up later, it would be at their expense, correct?
That is correct, and we have begun dealing with that. We're working with the county, and basically what we're saying, I may be a bit off on my dates, but basically if you have installed, cesspools are out of the game. Cesspools you will hook up. Cesspools are banned.
No, I know they are, but then the state, a.k.a. the EPA, can, on a cesspool residence lot, say, you are going to hook up, there is no choice.
Well, the county will say that.
They can say that.
The county has got jurisdiction on that.
All right, so the county will basically condemn a property that elects not to hook up.
I don't know, though. I don't know whether that's the right word. I don't think people will be given that choice. But yes, if you're on a cesspool, you decide not to hook up, I suspect the measures the county could take might be drastic. I don't know for sure what they are. With regards to septic tanks, if your septic tank was installed, and I will say, and I wish Jake here would call in to correct me on, but basically if your septic tank was installed, let's say after 2010, January 1, I'm not sure about the exact date, but it was the date when the county required septic tanks to be leak tested.
Right.
Before that time, you could have a water level drop of an inch per unit time. When the county changed that, they did leak testing, no leakage at all. After that point in time, if you have a septic tank that has had no complaints, the county hasn't had to take action, they will have the right to say, we're not going to hook up.
No.
We'll tell them, look, we could hook you up for free, and they can take the position, no, we're not going to hook up. When they decide that they have to hook up,
it's
because everything man-made fails,
right,
then it's to their cost. The other part of that is, even if they don't hook up, they are still going to be assessed.
The tax, of course, for the $32.5 million.
And they're going to be charged 50% of the O&M cost.
They are.
Yes.
So they'll not only pay the tax, they'll pay 50% of what it would be as if they were connected.
Yes,
so,
and that we're not capricious in doing that. That is described in Arizona revised statutes.
Right.
I don't have the detailed item under which that is, but that is described in the revised statutes.
Right. Okay. So,
if I could come in for two seconds, please. Anyway, I own property in Tri-City District. My tax bill yearly, Tri-City right now, it's $58 a year. And so that's what my tax assessment is as of now for Tri-City. And so when construction is complete and there's no more expenses, then that money will go towards paying off that $32 million as well as the sale of the water that's been treated. So anyway, I just wanted to kind of throw that out there because I actually do own property there, and that's what is my tax bill.
So that 58 bucks would part of that, it wouldn't be 60 on top of that 58?
I want to clarify.
No, it's 35 would be on top of that, I do believe.
I want to clarify
anyway,
that, Tim.
That's what my tax deal is.
Your line item on your tax bill now for Tri-City is $58.
Yes, sir.
That is your part of the ad valorem tax that we levy each year. We're going through that process now. We submit our budget and our tax levy to the county for their information. That is an ad valorem tax that helps us run, if you will, do the administrative work for the project as it's now going. There will still be an ad valorem tax when the system is running, because there are still going to be costs, administrative costs, that will be levied on the district residents. I suspect it'll be less than now, but that I'm not sure about that. But people need to know there will be still be some sort of ad valorem tax, so that the district administration can continue to function. You always have an umbrella, just like the gas company has office staff, utilities have office staff. We're still going to have some of that, and those costs right. will be covered by ad valorem.
So that would be the 58 if it remained 58 on top of the 60, which is going to be repaying the loan. So theoretically, it could be 118.
On top of the 60, which is O&M and loan repayment.
Right.
So now you've got this third niggling issue, this ad valorem tax, which will still be there.
So theoretically, with that, if the amount doesn't change, that could be $118 to your tax bill each year.
Wait a minute. No, it
no,
could
no.
Be,
you're getting the yearly mixed up with monthly.
Yeah,
no, it's monthly is 58
is a year.
Yes.
Right, and the 60
that would
is
be
a year.
That could be mixed with the assessment fee if you want to look at it that way.
And that could be 60. You're saying 60 perhaps.
Well, the assessment, let's say, is 35.
Well, no, that's your monthly bill to have
well,
the sewer.
Okay, let's say the assessment is 30. All right, the monthly bill is 30.
Right.
The yearly bill on the assessment is $360, $30 a month. On top of that, Tim will pay $58 for his auto or less.
Now, you said $360. I thought that was $60. Where's the $360?
$360 is the yearly number, Raleigh.
Both.
Okay.
$360 is the overall yearly estimate. Dividing it by 12, you get... You get $30, I believe.
Right.
I may be wrong with that.
But that $30, that's your you're saying $35 to use the system.
That's your user fee. That's your monthly bill.
So that's
bill.
$35 user fee. Now, plus I'm going to be paying $360 a year.
Yes, that's your assessment.
My assessment. Now, plus that assessment,
you're gonna
I'm
going to
be paying $58 or whatever the
law. Whatever your ad valorem tax
right.
is.
Right.
I mean, there are people out there who are paying our TRSD ad valorem tax less than $2 a
right.
year.
Right, but whatever that ad valorem is, it would be on top of the 360.
Yeah. Yes.
So it'd be somewhere between 362 if it's $2 a year and 418 if it's $58 a year. All right.
Let's talk about, firstly, where we're going to take our wastewater. So what I'm hearing is Miami has the capacity to take our wastewater. Has anybody ever put a number on that? When we, in 2015, at a special election, the residents of the district authorized the board at that time to negotiate with the town of Miami for the town to treat 200,000 gallons per day of TRSD wastewater. Okay? That was at that time. You can treat 200,000 gallons a day. I want to know what their capacity is now, because when our plant is built out, we will have the capacity to treat 500,000 a day. How much of our capacity can the town of Miami accept? And then what happens when we reach that limit? They're going to expand their plant, and we're going to pay for the expansion. I say that because that's what went down in the negotiations back in 2013,
right.
2016. That's what was used in the what was called preliminary engineering report.
But what we're saying right now is, of course, we don't know because that hasn't been negotiated. So
nope.
where we are right now is we don't know that Miami would truly be interested in handling it. If they did, we don't know under what conditions or what costs.
So There's been nothing.
So the only way there could be a discussion on that is if those figures were realized, if we knew what they were, and we don't.
I can tell you this. In the letter of objections that my town of Miami filed when we were going through the process of revising our water quality management plan amendment, because we moved the facility from the Solitude area out on the north end of 188. We had to revise our amendment to the Central Arizona Government Water Quality Management Plan. We have three, at that point in time, and I'm not ignoring the district residents or residents in general, we had three stakeholders that we went to and asked for a letter of not commendation, but a letter of acceptance. We got positive letters from Gila County and from the City of Globe. We got a letter of objection from the town of Miami. They would never accept our facility. In that letter of objection, the town said, we'll offer you buy-in capacity to our plant for $4.5 million. And if you want a copy of that letter, I can get that.
So
up front, they're telling us, you can buy capacity for an unspecified volume of wastewater treatment for $4.5 million. If I go back to what was discussed in 2015, when the residents of the district authorized the board to negotiate with the town for, let's say, $200,000, is that what that $4.5 million is being applied against? Is that the capacity buy-in we're getting 200,000 gallons? If you took that number and ratioed it up to 500,000 gallons a day, you're looking at $10 million of buy-in capacity to town of Miami.
There's a bigger problem. We don't know what the figures are. Therefore, it's a premature discussion as far as I'm concerned. If the other side doesn't have the figures, we don't have anything to talk about as far as that goes. That's where I stand on it. From what you're telling me is you've got absolute figures and they've got no figures. And so it would seem to me if there's a time to object, they need these figures. They need something from Miami that says, and I guess maybe that's why they're going to the town council or whatever, that they need to know what that is, because otherwise it's conjecture. So what you're saying is, look, here's the deal. Your monthly bill is going to be $35 a month to be hooked up. Your taxes are going to be $360 a year plus an ad lorem fee, which may be as little as $2 or could be as high as $50.
Right.
And so...
right now, that's what we're estimating.
Right. And I can see where some people see this $360, who that's all they're paying a year in tax right now. They're saying, wait a minute, that doubles my tax bill. So I can see where people are truly concerned. And what you're saying is, well, there are methods to work with this. If your income is below a certain level, this will be taken care of. But Tim, you might correct me if I'm wrong. It seems to me that we can't compare not only apples to apples, we can't compare apples to oranges if we do not have the figures, if Miami has not disclosed what their plan is to provide it and at what cost.
Where's the money coming?
Well,
where's the money coming from if they hook up to Miami? Where's the money coming for the plumbing?
Right.
What's going to get the plumbing to go to Miami?
Right. Now, but
at $9 million, because it's twice as much as they had thought for the $4.5 million. Okay, so if it's $10 million to hook up, then where's the money coming from to put the plumbing in the ground?
Well, now I'm for a moment here subtracting that, because I think their position is, look, if we can go ahead and get things changed and CAG can approve us, we can get that money. And that's who knows. But just looking at even apart from that issue, which is potentially a real issue, is the issue that we don't know what they're proposing. We don't, Miami, and you're going to the Miami meeting, Miami has not stood up and said, oh, we'll give you this at this rate. We don't know.
They're telling us now, $4.5 million to buy capacity of an unknown quantity per day.
Then we don't know. There's no such thing in this discussion, as far as I'm concerned, of unknown quantities.
On one hand, we're looking at, if we go to Miami, let's just talk about the initial cost of $4.5 million for capacity. That's some way we have to come up with. It can't come out of our loan money. It won't come out of our loan money. So we have to come up with that. But that's kind of nebulous. Here's the bottom line on our reclamation facility. We are going to build that facility basically with grant money.
Right.
Grant money that is specified for that facility. If we don't build the facility, it doesn't reduce the loan. What we wind up doing is giving back grant money. But here's the real kicker. We have control of our effluent.
Right.
We can sell our A-plus effluent. If our initial build-out is 350,000 a day, gallons a day, you get to the 500,000 a day if you presume the vacant lots are going to be built on. So let's talk our build-out capacity is 350,000 a day. The revenue that would return to the project each year to assist the project or to assist the residents is just over $225,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a revenue stream that will be turned around and used to the benefit, again, of either the project or to the residents of the project to help them where necessary. Right. If we go to Miami, we get zero. We get nothing.
Well, it seems to me, without Miami stepping up and saying this is what it is, there's no discussion. You're moving forward, and that's where we are. So with that in mind, you've got the grants. When do you break ground for the facility?
I told you earlier, and I'll repeat, we expect to begin site prep work for the water reclamation facility probably late third quarter this year.
Okay.
And then very quickly, we will follow that on, if things go well from a funding standpoint, we will follow on beginning the other part of the system. Where that begins, I can't tell you. That, but right now, I'm just focused on getting the site prep work started for the reclamation facility.
Right, and again, this is at no cost to any taxpayer whatsoever.
Correct.
This is grant money.
Correct.
So even if it turned out to just be a shrine and not used, it does not cost anybody anything in terms of real dollars to them.
We'll put a statue up there of Supervisor Humphrey.
Oh, very good. Oh, Tim, you look resplendent. Wear a hat. Yeah.
This is a hard project.
A place to put a statue.
Yeah. Well, that's good. It is, and it's obviously a project that has been fraught with a lot of misinformation, all the way around. And of course, you to some extent inherited the sins of the fathers visited upon the sons. One of the attitudes about this project, as you well know, that you confront is that it's been going on over a decade, and so there's a lot of people who are just weary. And,
you know, when I visit, and I don't do this a lot, that's not my deal, but when I'm visiting with people who are involved with other major projects, it's the same thing. It's time. Being in this for 10 years is not out of the ordinary. When you understand that there's a city to the east of us and a town to the west of us and two major mining operations, if you will, it's really... really a convoluted project.
Well, it is. But again, the average citizen and taxpayer is unaware of a lot of the intricacies.
Yes.
And to them, it's like, you've been talking about this for over 10 years.
Yes.
So that is why you have a PR person to basically say, don't hate us.
A very valid point, and it's a really good way of looking at it. If you're not involved with the day-to-day, you wonder what is going on. And we're going to do a better job of communicating. I expect to begin the first of probably three public workshops.
Okay.
Maybe to begin in June, the first one to talk about the realities of where we're putting the plant and why, and the benefits for doing that. The next ones may be talking about costs, mm-hmm. and our the construction is going to be much different than was thought of when this project yes. was conceived because of funding issues, different agencies involved.
And where exactly will the plant be?
The plant is out on 188.
Uh-huh.
It's a bit north of, you know, we know where Wiles is. Then you have those industries north of Wiles. Mm-hmm. Just beyond that, it is in that sliver of land east of the current 188, west of the old 188, and the pavement is still there. I'm sorry. We are west of current 188, yeah. east of old 188.
Right.
Not immediately, but we are east of the Gila County Cattle Growers Association stockyards.
Mm-hmm.
And the north end of our site is almost where 188 bends and starts going west. That is the northerly boundary of our site.
All right.
It's two old water retention basins probably used in conjunction with moving water from Old Dominion to the mining operations to the west.
Okay. So Tim, do you have anything to add?
I don't. Other than, Robert, thanks for all you do. Raleigh, thank you.
Sure.
And if anybody has any questions, they're welcome to call me as well. And I don't have all the information that Robert does, but I can share the information that I have with anybody that cares to listen.
Terrific. Thank you, Tim.
Okay, have a good evening, both of you.
Good night, Tim. Good night.
Okay, so now I've got Tim's, you're going to get a page on the KQSS.net website because this will go up in perpetuity.
Okay, thank you.
So what I want to add to that page.
Are we on air or off air?
You're on the air right now.
I've got to be careful.
You've been on the air the whole time.
No. Come on, I thought it was just you and I talking.
Yeah, right. No, you have. And it replays Sunday morning on KJAA. It's 1240 AM and 106.1 FM at 8 AM or thereabouts. Because, you know, we're now at 46 minutes into our half-hour meeting. So however the time works out. So I won't worry.
I have friends that would tell you don't give him the mic.
Oh, well, that's...
Don't give him the mic.
Well, you know, actually...
But I appreciate the extra
time. I wasn't planning to ask any questions, so did I cover all the information you want to get?
Well, I think so. I think the we deal with the nuts and bolts. We're dealing with the funding issues. The two major elements to be that people need to be clear on is that they're insulated from the dramatic increase in cost of the project, that they're exposed to $32.5 million, that's what they will be paying back. I'm not going to say we're willing to sit down and talk about plant location. As I said in the beginning, we will build our own plant, but I'm always willing to talk with people on something like this,
yeah.
on a one-on-one, two, three-on-one, civilized. You tell me what you think, I'll tell you what I think.
Okay, so now if people want to contact you, do you have a phone number you want to give out?
You
don't have to if you don't want to.
I don't have to if I want. Okay.
No. I'll take an email address if you don't want to give your phone number.
I'll give you my email address.
Okay.
It's Robert
uh-huh.
B for boy, Robert uh-huh. B Jock, JACQUES,
uh-huh.
at gmail.com.
Okay, so that's what I'm going to put on the site, and if you want to talk with Robert, email him, and he'll get back to you.
Yes, if they email him and say, come on, I want a coffee, let's sit down and talk about your project, I'm interested to know what it's going to cost me, what's going to happen. I'm on a hill, my sewer, my septic tank's down at the foot of the hill, what do I do? I, as far as I can, I will answer questions.
Okay.
And if I can't answer the question, I will get them an answer.
Sounds good. All right.
Thank you.
So then that concludes this meeting of the TRSD, the Tri-City Sanitary District, and Board President Robert Jacques. And if you have any questions, again, you'll have that robertbjacques@gmail.com. And that will be at kqss.net. I'll make sure I get a link right on the homepage.
Tell them not to forget the B, because people do that, and then they get angry when I don't respond.
Well, the nice thing is if they go to kqss.net, it's going to be an email link. All I have to do is click on it, and they won't have to write anything. It'll be easy.
Monster Hits for Gila County.
Thank you.